Welcome to America's Jobs Team. At Consultant Connect, we believe the greatest force for change is a job, but it requires amazing, talented economic developers. Each week, we will go deep with America's jobs heroes on their leadership journeys, with the belief that when leaders get stronger, their communities thrive.
Hey everyone, before we get started, Carla, have you read any good books lately?
Why, Nick, I certainly have. I'm super excited and actually really, really honored to be able to talk about a book that I recently read. It's by the fearless leader here at Consultant Connect and Southwest Michigan First, Ron Kitchens. And the book is called Uniquely You. And for most people who have met Ron, they know that Ron is unique and his leadership story and just his background is unique and has really created this dynamic in economic development and in our organization for sure that is challenging the status quo and causing people to stop second guessing what their past has been and use what their life's events have happened to them and let that shape their leadership journey. We're really excited, really, really honored to say that the book is releasing on Tuesday, May 21st. So you can buy it on pre-sale on Amazon right now or wherever you buy your books. But we are just really wanting the economic development community to come alongside Ron. This was a dream of his to write a book. It was a humble experience to tell some stories from his past that he had not shared before. And what a glorious way that we can all support somebody who has done so much for the industry by going ahead and buying the book. So I encourage you to do that. Also, Ron will be doing some speaking this year on books. So if you have conferences or community events coming up and you'd like to have Ron Kitchens there to talk about the book or maybe share some insights on from his journey, he would love to do that. If you're interested or need to hear more about the book, please reach out to me, Carla@consultantconnect.org. I'd love to chat with you more about Uniquely You, which is going to be launched on Tuesday, May 21st. Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the America's Jobs Team. I'm Carla Soans, and I'm super excited about the interview today. I get the opportunity to interview Kurt Foreman, who has become a good friend in economic development. Kurt is right now serving as the CEO at the Delaware Prosperity Partnership, which is a new organization. He has extensive experience in economic development. He's also served as a site selection consultant in his past, and now he is working at the helm of a brand new economic development organization there in Delaware. He is one of my favorite economic developers because of his cool, calm, and collected nature. He's full of enthusiasm, passionate about the work, and I hope you enjoy this interview as much as I did while I was talking to him. Well, welcome to the podcast, Kurt. We're so glad to have you with us this week. I'm going to start by just putting you right on the spot with our first question, and we're just going to dive right in and hopefully have a little fun with one another as we go through today's podcast. I've certainly been looking forward to it. So here we go. Question number one for Kurt Foreman. What is the greatest challenge that you feel like is facing leaders today?
It's a great question. And I think it's important to think about that regularly. I would say for me, given what I do in economic development, it's really the sheer magnitude or scale of disappointment and sort of jadedness that seems to exist in what I would call the public or civic arena. It sort of wears away at our communities and our citizens and the potential for sort of aspirational outlooks. And I think leaders, in my opinion, need to help us see those opportunities and help people believe that good things are attainable. And there's such a pressure weighing on us in our public dialogue that I think it's hard to sort of swim against that current, but we really have to.
You know, I love the way that you put that. You really articulated that so perfectly. And that's a real pressure that I think is for an economic developer is extremely real, but not just for economic developers. I think it's real for almost every citizen just in the world we're living in right now. I think everyone is feeling that. How do you as an organization or a leader, how are you helping to reframe that for the people that you work with and for?
Well, one, it's in the case where I am now, I'm still new, so I can come at it with fresh eyes and hopefully people will tolerate my being new and bringing sort of a fresh perspective to it. But I have a sort of a natural optimism that I've always had. And I sort of feel like that energy and that ability to stick with what's needed and to help share that passion is really my most important role. Particularly, I'm building a new organization from scratch and helping people sort of recommit to that there's an opportunity ahead of us. So that energy and stick with itness, I think, is the biggest piece of that, at least for me in the current role I'm in.
Well, those are some great leadership traits that you have that you just described, that optimism and that ability to see something new and the vision for that and to bring people along in that. What is one characteristic that you believe that every leader should possess, and maybe an example of somebody that has that?
Sure. You know, I think being able to take those disparate pieces that may exist in a community or a situation and be able to knit them together and bring that energy I was just talking about and that ability to shine a light on where we could go, not that we're going there, but that we could go there and help people sort of see that. And luckily, I've had examples in my career, everything from some mayors who really over the long haul, multiple terms, were able to really move the community from maybe sort of moderate optimism to significant optimism and really change and reframe their communities for the future. I've experienced it with pastors and churches I've been a part of. The good news is there's a lot of this out there. It just doesn't always get the attention that other voices and other sort of shrillness that's out there gets more attention. But I really think there's lots of good examples in almost every community.
So Kurt, one of the things that I've really enjoyed when I've been around you and getting to know you is just your experience and your wisdom and your, you know, your pursuit of continuing to grow as a leader. And I know you've been in multiple different positions in multiple different cities. From your standpoint, what is one of the characteristics that you have seen that has really derailed leaders? If you were going to give advice to leaders, what's a characteristic that you would warn people to guard against?
I think the myth that we're indispensable is the quickest way to encapsulate it. But that sort of type of pride that sometimes builds up over time, or that feeling that we know best and that we're so essential for success that we can't be replaced, or that we have to be there and be that person. And I always take the approach, and it's hard sometimes not to feel confident when things are going well or you're getting good feedback. But, you know, it's not our approach or our suggestions aren't the only right ones. And we need to be able to listen and guard against that. So for me, being truly committed to the process and respectful of process, enjoying working with partners, not feeling like we have to do it all ourselves or decide everything by ourselves, and not running over people. For me, that's how I guard against it. I often tell candidates when I interview people who might be thinking it would be fun to work in economic development, that I always say, if you get frustrated because you can't go from point A to point B in the shortest, most direct path, then this isn't the right kind of work for you. It takes a different kind of sort of cadence and willingness to maybe sometimes learn something from someone else that might really be the right answer at that time for a community or something going on.
There's so many times I think that's great advice, because we were just laughing in our office the other day about a project that you could see from point A to point B, but you ended up having to go basically all the way through the alphabet in order to get back to what really ended up being point A to point B.
Absolutely.
It was that simple, but became more complicated in order to get back down to the simple. So that's great advice. What other advice would you give somebody that's going into a leadership position, maybe in economic development or maybe not, but from what you've learned throughout your career so far, what advice would you give to a young gun starting out?
Or an old gun who's trying something new.
That's true.
You know, I think first and foremost, and I don't always take my own medicine, but to really be keen to listen and to enjoy the engagement with those around you, to reach out, not just think you've got it and you got to just, it doesn't have to all come from you. But, you know, as that leader, our job is to pull things together and connect pieces that will make a difference. But for me, it's really finding those voices or folks who can help perhaps me or that person digest and assess the points we're in, the point of view or the points we're trying to make? What are you hearing? What am I hearing? Does it, you know, is it congruent? The other thing that I think also gets in the way, and I would encourage someone not to worry so much about, is don't worry about the credit. That's often one of the places where the biggest problems come up. If you're perceived as trying to take all the credit or you're fighting for that microphone, in my opinion, there's always enough credit to go around, particularly if it's a more civic-oriented thing, or even in a corporation, I think there's plenty of credit to go around. And if you don't worry about that, I think things can go better for you in the long run.
Yeah, I definitely 100% agree with that. I want to take a different turn for a second here, Kurt, because one of the things that I've admired about you is your ability to change careers and to know when it's time to change and to move from a different community. Can you walk the listening audience through how you make those decisions and when you know it's just time, like to do something different, to take a new adventure? And how do you just know? How are you making those decisions? Because those are big, bold, courageous decisions.
Well, yeah, and I've done some of that, so I agree. Well, the first thing that I always tell people, and I tell my family this too, and it's because I grew up in a military household and we moved a lot. I've moved 28 times in my life, and there are lots of nice places to live. And if you're flexible, there's lots of great places that the next step of your career could be in. So for me, that you know, the place is important, but there's more than just that. But for me, I think there are cycles. I found, and maybe it's because I'm more of an intuitive thinker and decision maker, but I found that there are cycles to things. You sort of get the feel that perhaps the cycles run its course and it's time to think about something else. Also, I think there's sometimes a different skill set is required at the next stage of an evolution in a community or an organization. And maybe I'm not always the person that has that skill set for the next stage of the organization's growth. And so I don't consider that a terrible thing or a bad thing, but it's important to sort of try to listen for those cues. And sometimes it comes to things like you can sense a fatigue in the relationships, perhaps with a board or partners, or even family changes or personal changes. It's not just about the job, but it can be about, you know, maybe it's about me and the person I am at that point in time, or that the changes my family may be facing that may lead to a decision that maybe there's the next great thing is out there. And having that sort of fresh perspective and know that there's an ebb and flow to things, and it's okay to hand off to someone else, is okay.
I think part of that ebb and flow for you, and from what I've observed, has been just you also recognizing that ebb and flow as you grow as a leader. So what are some of the things that you are continuing to do to ensure that you keep growing and kind of embolden and embody that ebb and flow that comes with leadership? There are highs and there's lows, and there are points where you're kind of coasting, you hit a plateau, and then you do something different or you need to do something different that challenges your leadership to continue to grow. What are those things that you're doing to continue to invest in your own leadership?
And candidly, I think that's probably difficult for many people. I find it difficult, partly because I feel like I'm doing my work for other people, not for me. So sometimes I forgo longer than I should, sort of feeding myself in that way. I push through it.
I think so many people do that.
Absolutely. You feel like it's selfish sometimes, but if you're not healthy, either mentally or physically even, or you're not sort of on your game, maybe things don't, you know, drop by the wayside, or there's other things. But I get fed from being around friends and colleagues. And so how I do it is I like to check in with longstanding mentors and friends. Many of them are fellow economic developers. I get energy from being around them and with them. And even just sometimes what seems like a casual conversation or connecting with someone, you know, feeds me in a way that gives me that charge to get back at it. But I also like to try to read. I wish I did it more often. I'm a big fan of board governance, and I try to read a lot about that and, you know, making sure, and I'm in the midst of doing that with our new organization, sort of getting the board into some strides and getting them active and not just coming to meetings, but actively, you know, being a part of the organization. So those are the things I do.
So Kurt, this might be a hard question for you because you're not a braggy type of guy, but what are you most proud of in your career? You've been in multiple different cities so far. You certainly have a lot of career left in front of you, but so far, if you had to pick something that really stands out as a moment or a situation that really is like, that is what makes me really proud of Kurt Forman, what would that be?
Well, and maybe like I am, the things I'm most proud of are not individual projects, but I'm thrilled that many of the communities I've served in seem to have succeeded going forward, and they're working together in ways they didn't before I was there, and they've continued that and built capacity. I'm also really proud of the teams that I helped build and people that I found during the way who decided to make economic development their career. That always is a point of pride for me. There's some very talented people who now are making a difference in communities I don't serve in anymore, but are still there doing that. So, and I guess I'm most proud that I've really had the chance to serve in some really wonderful places that I probably wouldn't have thought to go to if it hadn't been for the opportunity to be a part of their current and future success.
That's awesome. So in closing, I'm going to ask you a question. It's a little bit deeper than the rest, but what does it mean to you to be an American?
I thought about that a lot. For me, it's less about geography. It's more about that, you know, I believe that America is that place that has higher expectations for ourselves, not in a snooty way, but we stand for values that have transformed places and people and really are aspirational, even for ourselves. Now, certainly I'm not blind that we haven't had huge imperfections or fallen short, but we have the strength and ideals to not take the quickest, most expedient path to doing something. I guess back to that point A to point B, I think America is a place where we do things hopefully right because it's important to do it that way, not because it's always in our best interest. I think because we're a strong place, we can take that. I also think we're a place of inherent optimism and contagious attitude. And for me, I always think that takes a lot of responsibility when you're in that situation. And so I think we have to hold ourselves to a little higher standard, but that's what I think is that's what makes us a little bit different as Americans.
Contagious optimism is my takeaway from the interview today with Kurt Forman. Not only what you seek to really embody in your own leadership, but certainly what you've brought into our world. I can speak on behalf of Consultant Connect. We love in just getting to know you, and every time that you've been at one of our events that we've called you, the optimism, the spark that you give our team, the just calm and wise approach that you take is just really, really admirable. So I loved having you on the podcast today. I hope you have a good rest of your day and a great year. Everybody, Kurt Forman. Thank you, Kurt.
Take care. Thank you.
Well, podcast listeners, I hope that you heard that I really love working with and talking to Kurt. He's just such a breath of calm air. I really appreciate his insight. Hey, don't forget to tune back in next week. I get a chance to talk with Ann Miller from Buda, Texas. And Ann has over 14 years of experience in economic development. She's been recognized as top 40 under 40 by DCI. She has a lot of accolades, but what you may not realize is that she is just an inspiring, amazing woman leader in economic development. And I hope that you tune in and listen in for the insights that she will always drop every time I talk to her. And it's going to be great. So don't miss it.